Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right
here. All right, what's up? Welcome inside Studio 34 right here in Midtown Manhattan. Familiar voice. Corey Parson, the fantasy executive. Got the fantasy football frenzy all shot behind me, but this is a special edition, FST. Let's might as well call it, Matt, the Fantasy Football Frenzy Reunion.
Down that it that. Is.
There you
that
go. Matt Medica, the all-in kid, Jake Seeley, 844-843-6879. Whether you got keeper questions, strategy, you just want to shoot it with the Goon Squad, it's been a little minute. We here, we got you covered. Shout out to everybody downstairs on the fourth floor doing an excellent job today. All right, where's the all-in kid at, Jake Seeley? Is Jake, we got Jake yet? Is Jake on the Skype machine? I don't see Jake.
I don't see him neither. Maybe he didn't want to be part of the reunion.
He didn't want to be part of the reunion. They're bringing the band back together and All In Kid blew us off. All right, they're bringing the band back together and All In Kid blew us off. Matt Medica, my man, we haven't done this in a good while. How's everything going, buddy?
Everything is going well. Excited to talk some football.
Yeah.
Actually, we're partaking in my first football draft. It's actually an auction. Tonight, NFFC will be testing out its auction software.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. We got a good crew together, and we'll see how that goes.
Now I'm looking forward to it too. I know I had talked to Andy a couple weeks ago. We was texting. He was telling me that the NFFC is doing some auction software. So I was like, all right, cool. I got to get involved. I wish you'd have put me in the initial trial run. There's no basketball on tonight.
It was on the message board. And
sorry, I didn't.
Maybe he didn't email you. That's the only reason I knew, because I got an email.
Yeah, exactly. I could have, like, a personal invitation, Mr. Saxon, but I guess he's flying high. This is Philadelphia Eagles, a champion. Let me start off right here. What's been going on with you? How's the baseball season coming along?
The baseball season's been going fantastic to date. It's only March 29th. We're only 2 months in. But I am currently third in the main event.
May 29th. Yeah, I'm about to say March. I got scared for a minute.
Third in the main event and second in the auction championship. And I got some really solid teams so far.
Biggest disappointment, biggest surprise so far your fantasy baseball season?
Biggest disappointment was I was hoping to go. I did my first AL-only high stakes auction last year. Yeah. I won it. And I will not be winning it this year, I can tell you that.
You already know that, huh?
Yeah.
That you one, already can
that's
tell.
A team I will write off. It just went south.
So the only format is not going to work. What about the big surprises so far for your personal teams?
The big surprises, I was a Garrett Cole believer coming into the season. It was like I kind of needed Garrett Cole to be good and to steal a line from you. Garrett Cole, you know, save Christmas and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So far, so good. But he's been better than even I could have anticipated to this point forward. Biggest disappointment, I guess, has to be Byron Buxton. I have him on a couple of teams.
Yeah.
I never thought this guy would be, like, an outstanding average guy. But I thought, you know, double-digit homers. I thought the 40 steal potential was real. And, you know, the guy just can't make contact. He can't stay healthy.
He's a stiff.
But hopefully, you know, over these next 4 months, he's gotten the last 2 years that hot September. If he could turn it into a hot 3 months in the second half. Because a lot of the guys that have done well to start off with are going to cool off in the second half.
All right, right quick. We're going to get to the plenty of fantasy football talk. Like I said, the telephone line is open, 844-843-6879. First, I got a couple guys I want to ask you. A couple things I want to ask you about. And then hopefully a darling kid joins us. So maybe he said, you know what, I'm not doing this. I didn't get my money. I'm not doing the reunion tour. You know what I'm saying? He's going all rogue. If the king's still
he's
downstairs,
going day
send him upstairs.
With the king.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. If the king's still downstairs, send him upstairs.
King's here today?
He was here earlier. I don't know if he's still here or not. You talked up, and I remember leading up to it. I wasn't asleep. I was listening to you. You was talking up Joey Gallo a lot. How's that going so far?
Look, I'm hoping for like a 230-ish average, which especially this year with batting average isn't that bad.
Yeah.
The home runs are there. I was predicting, you know, my bold prediction. Not even bold. I was predicting he was going to do 50-10.
Yeah.
So he's, I don't know, he's got like 14, 15 homers. Yeah. Like three stolen bases. So, you know, if this continues, that might come true. I'm just hoping. I think he's batting like a 197-ish.
Got to get that batting average up a little bit.
I'll take 220. I'll sign off on 220.
That'd be good. If you can get on, if you can get above the Mendoza line, Mr. Gallo, that'd be great.
But he is a great Italian-American. So.
Yo, there you go right there. Salud.
Well played.
Okay, now, last night was Fab night. What'd you do with the Fab while your pickups last night?
You know what? I'm at the point this year with Fab. I got Juan Soto, this ballyhooed 19-year-old who was called up last week, but in the NFBC, he has to play on the roster before 7 a.m. Sunday for him to be eligible. So we had to wait till this past Sunday night.
Yeah.
And I didn't think I was getting him anyway because I pretty much build my teams up to like Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And then try and save, you know, a couple hundred dollars for the rest of the way. And I didn't think I was going to get him. And when I leased him in with Andy, Andy Saxton, we bid 114 just to throw it out there. And we won him.
All right, good.
So
nice job.
Happy about that. Otherwise, it's just like small things. I would recommend people, if they, if they're thinking about it, a guy I've been loading up on, stashing, is Jimmy Nelson. I know he's got to do a rehab stint, but if he's anything like he was last year, I think it's a guy to gamble on. If you want to, you know, Kevin Kiermaier's time, we're starting to get closer and closer to the timetable. So it's getting around that time where you got to get him now, or you're not going to get him.
All right, everybody. I got something. Right quick, let me get to this. You don't have Gleyber Torres nowhere?
Oh, I got Gleyber.
Nice job.
I picked up Gleyber the week before, the Sunday night before he got called up.
I drafted him in
the reserve round of my New York auction, which
then you
was
cut him.
Two. No, no, I kept him. I kept him on my team. He was not getting cut. But in my Vegas auction, somebody dropped him.
Yeah.
This is before he got called up. I bid $171.
And got
the runner-up bid was $7.
That's crazy.
I was furious. But
then, don't be mad.
2 days later, he got called up. I tried getting him in my super auction. He was available there. I bid like 200 and something around 250.
Yeah.
One of the guys bid 500 and something.
Yeah, you went halfway in.
I didn't get him there.
Like a good Gleyber Torres.
Oh, he's been great. He does not get talked about enough.
Drop that one.
He really does not.
The kid is balling.
Gleyber,
I'm going to buy a jersey.
But, oh, yeah, you should definitely.
You should buy one, too.
Hey, you know what? If he takes me to the promised land, I'll buy his jersey. I'll donate to his charity.
Everything. Hey, to the homies downstairs on the fourth floor, can somebody hop on the microphone right quick? Who's ever running the program? I would like to speak to you.
Yo, what's good? It's the Fantasy Executive.
Yo, what's going on, Frankie, baby? I know you're not running the audio, Frank, but can we get the All-In Kid? He said this All-In Kid is trying to get up with us, so we got to get the All-In Kid so we can bring him in here. And whoever's running the board, bringing us in and out, can we find Don Burns' folder? Shout out my man Don Burns and get that good Fantasy Executive sound rolling, Frankie, baby.
Yep, we got it for you.
Thank you. I appreciate you. I dance at your wedding.
We can talk, you know, but we're waiting for the All-In Kid. We're talking about how great.
I'm going to dance at Frank's wedding. If I get invited to Frank's wedding, I'm going to dance.
How great that NHL opening Stanley Cup game was in Vegas. The cheesiest open ever, though. I mean, you got to expect that.
No, I'd see it. Here's the thing. The action on the ice, we was back and forth. Between that and the basketball game, mainly the basketball game, I really couldn't tell you what was going on. But I did see a replay of the opening. I'm about to say the opening ceremony. But I thought they did a good job with the opening act. I think it's like
the
entertainment.
The show was cool, but then it got like real cheesy. I'm gonna be, look,
you don't like how they brought the real Golden Knights out
there?
I
do like how Little John's everywhere. And I'll be honest.
Little John owns Vegas now. He's like doing the Vegas scene. Yeah.
But what like I said, I can only tell you one song from Little John.
Yeah.
Turned Down for What? That's it. I don't blame him. I've seen him on. You know,
yeah.
He seems really cool, and they interviewed him, and he was saying how, like, you know, it's not just people that live here; it's people that work here that love this team.
Yeah.
He seems to be all in on it. Look, for what happened there a few months back, you know, a year ago, whatever.
Yeah.
They needed something like this, and that's something good.
So shout out to the Golden Knights. They're going up against the Capitals. I used to live in D.C. for a decade.
I would like to see Ovechkin win. Usually I would root for Ovechkin here, but you got to root for Vegas.
I'm not rooting for nobody, to be honest with you. No, if I say anybody, I would want Vegas to win because I don't want the D.C. sports teams to win anything. I'm not all caps. I'm not all skins. I'm not all bullets. I'm not anything to do with the D.C. sports fan base, that pitiful fan base. I am against it. So, Matt, here's the thing. Getting ready to talk some fantasy football. I'm really get the all-in kit here. Like I said, telephone lines is open. To be honest with you, we can start right at 100%. We can start right at 1. Because Todd Gurley seems to be the consensus guy going off the board at 1-1 right now. But I can make a case for Zeke. I can also make a case for Lev Bell. What I do worry about Lev Bell is, though, he's going to hold out until before the season
starts.
That's
what I don't like. See, that's the one thing. I had Lev Bell 1 last year. I want to take him 1 again this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to split it up with him and Gurley if I have to. Yeah. Even David Johnson if I got a 3-pick.
Oh, here we go. Just diversify thing again.
Yeah,
diversify.
You know,
no, I'm just playing.
Look, but seriously, you know, like last year, I mean, I argued with the King about it, but, like, the teams that I got Odell Beckham on, and Julio, for people that want to say, you know, never Julio. You're crazy. I'd love to get him at the end of the first round. But between him and Beckham got hurt. Yeah. Beckham was gone. So at least I had Julio. At least Julio got me some points.
No, there you go. Like you said, you were in the middle last year, and you drafted one of those big wide receivers
same
early.
Same thing with David Johnson. Like Scott said, he would take him every time at 1.
Yeah.
David Johnson was gone after the first game.
All right, let's bring in my man, the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. Jake, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Corey. How you been?
I'm well. Do you want to talk about what you've been doing since we've last done the Frenzy, or do you just want to hop right in?
I don't think we need to.
All right, cool. Well, I will ask you one question. How's it going in labor so far?
That's not the one you want to ask.
All right.
You want to ask about that. In labor, I'll put it this way. I just put my 12th person on the DL.
Yeah.
I literally cannot field a full roster. That's all you need to know. But, hey, somehow I'm not in last. Somebody's worse than me. And I'll tell you off air who it was. I won't blast them on air. But, yep, I'm only starting 21 of 23 eligible spots. Top Wars, I'm in first place.
Oh, that's good.
And look, I mean, Jake's got that button down pretty low. He's,
see that.
He's trying to get the female viewers interested. I like it.
We got 28 people in the chat room with us right now.
Top button. That's really what I
could
do.
I need the goon squad to come back up and get up in this joint and rock with us heavy. So, Jake, we were just talking about 1-1 because we can start right there at 1-1. It's not even June yet. I think Gurley's in the mix. Right now, he looks to be the consensus. Obviously, Lev Bell is in the mix. I even think I can even go Zeke because I think Zeke is going to have a big year. That's not me being a homer. The thing with Bell is, Jake, I worry about this. He's going to hold out until right before the season starts. You feel what I mean?
I understand that concern, but if he's there week one, I couldn't care less. Yeah. I don't need Le'Veon Bell to play in the preseason. My concern is that he holds out longer than that because this could be a situation where he goes for the 6 or 10 games and then just shows up so he gets his year into the eligibility to free agency and hits free agency next year as an unrestricted free agent. And somebody's going to pay him a ton of money in unrestricted free agency. So I think that's the concern. Like, if I'm just telling you right now he's playing 16 games, he doesn't show up until the Thursday before or the Tuesday before, whenever they start practicing that week, I'll take him 1-1. I don't care. I'll take any of the 4 1-1 and not have a problem if you want to do the same. It's one of those years where you can make an argument for each one. I won't make the argument for Ezekiel Elliott in PPR. I will in non-PPR, but not in PPR. Otherwise, David Johnson is just 2 years in a row coming off a season-ending injury. And yeah, the first one was at the end of the year, but it's 2 years in a row. If you look at Todd Gurley, he had a miserable sophomore campaign as well as looking great as a rookie and terrific last year. So, I mean, this is the one year where we definitively don't have this needs to be 1-1.
So let me ask you, man, I'll start you off with this one. And let's talk about David Johnson and bring the all-in kid on this one, too. With DJ, let me tell you what I worry about with DJ. I worry about a new head coach, new system coming in, and they're like, you know what? Arians was willing to give you the ball 35 to 40 times a game. I'm not going to do that. I want to get that workload somewhere to 20, 25 touches a game. Do you still trust DJ at that high of a draft pick with less touches? Because we don't know what it's going to be. But one thing we knew about Arians might have given him the ball 50 times a game.
I mean, I agree. We talked about it last year. I think that's a great point. You always got to worry about when a new coach, offensive coordinator comes in. But this is one of the most talented players in the league.
Yeah.
You know, he got that wrist injury, whatever, that first half of the first game last year. The talent doesn't – anybody that's got a brain is going to give him the ball, feature that offense around him. It's going to be around him and Larry Fitzgerald. The question is, can Sam Bradford stay healthy? I don't believe so.
No, well, you're looking,
so
looking,
that
looking
makes
good luck.
Rosen, which – is Rosen the guy? Is Rosen ready? So that's right. But still, the top three guys I'm going to go with are those three. I mean, Zeke, I'm fine with as well. I'm just a little worried that there's no weapons there in that team.
Jake, what do you think? David Johnson, you have any worries about this coaching staff taking the football out of his hands?
No, because they've actually already come out and said the same thing that Arians said. They said they have no problem giving him 30 touches a game. So I think that's not a question. The offensive line, slightly better than it was last year. That's not more so a question of just it's not a great offensive line. And the fact is, it really doesn't matter when you're David Johnson's talent, Le'Veon Bell's talent, stuff like that. These running backs can succeed behind mediocre offensive lines. Granted, having one like the Cowboys did with Ezekiel Elliott 2 years ago, will always that's always going to help. But elite level running backs don't need amazing offensive lines. You just don't get blown up like the Bengals and you should be okay. The last part about it is just the fact of I really don't care who's that quarterback, whether it is Darnold or Darnold. I always do that with it. I've moved on from Sam, from Bradford and Darnold because it both ends with the D's and all. But in any case, Bradford or Rosen back at quarterback, I really don't care because I think Rosen was the most pro ready anyway. And we all know Bradford's going to get hurt at some point. I don't think they really affect the offense because if you look at it, he's the best weapon. He's the second best receiving option as of right now, Christian Kirk being the third. So the opportunity for 1,000 to 1,000 there, I'd probably say it's more going to be like 1,500 and 700. But the fact is he's going to be going over 2,000 all-purpose yards.
And here's the thing real quick. We talk about like you want to save these backs and stuff.
Yeah.
He just missed the whole year. Oh, yeah, so like, right. What are you saving him for? You know, anybody can get hurt in practice. We see it every year. There's a wide receiver that just goes out on a pass pattern and falls, and he's done. So the notion that they're going to save him, I don't buy it.
All right, so when we come back on the side, I want to discuss and talk about and break down some of these early wide receivers. Also go over that middle tier running backs going in the first round. Because running backs is the first round from what I'm seeing right now in the NFL 10s and stuff that I've been doing. It's going to be running back heavy, so we can discuss some of the strategy and break that stuff down. Plus, we can talk a little general football stuff, too. You know what I mean? Then talk about some of the things going on in the NFL. They got this cat. They fixed the catch rule. They fixed the catch rule. Let's just leave it at that. They're trying to fix the catch rule. So here you go, right here. FST Fantasy Sports Today Special Fantasy Football Frenzy Reunion. I don't know where the Goon Squad is at. I ain't seen them check into the YouTube chat yet, but. If you know any of the text your Goon Squad homies and tell them, listen, the Frenzy is up for a reunion. And we need you on the telephones also 844-843-6879.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
It's Carton and Friends.
Well, I imagine he's been to Vegas to see the Golden Knights play since he likes hockey more than just about anybody I know. Kevin Connolly, how you been, pal?
Hey, listen, I would love to see the Golden Knights play, but, you know, the Golden Knights, by the way, Craig, I know how much it pains you to talk about hockey right now, but it is the Stanley Cup Finals.
No doubt.
So you're allowed. The thing that's most exciting about the Vegas Golden Knights, they have their own fan base.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Join the family at Modell Sporting Goods. Visit your nearest Modell's and sign up for our MVP rewards program to receive insider deals all year round. Earn points on every purchase when you use your MVP card to earn Modell's cash back. It's our way of thanking you for being a loyal customer. Upon signing up, receive 10% off your purchase and 15% off your next purchase. It's that simple. Plus, new MVPs this month are eligible to win a $500 Modell's gift card. When you gotta play more and pay less, you gotta go to Mo's.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-292-8137 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-292-8137 for your free author submission kit. Again, that's 800-292-8137.
Hey, there we go, Bavona. Got a rockin' and rollin' Studio 34 right here in Midtown Manhattan. See the sun peeking through the deck a little bit. They're doing some work over there. Co-ed's coming in for lunchtime, though. But I'm getting out of here, man. I don't want no smoke with no co-eds. I don't want nothing. Yeah, I'm doing my job. I'm staying focused.
I will say June, July, and August, I hate living in Manhattan. It's atrocious. It is just like a swamp pit. It's nasty, but it's a good time to be a voyeur.
Yeah, no, you go right there. Want a chance to win two tickets to a 2018 World Series game? Go to dailyroto.com/DKMS. There you will find a link to a free DFS baseball contest every day. The contest is sponsored by DKMS, who are looking for your help in their fight against blood cancer. For many patients, a bone marrow transplant is the best chance for survival, with 33% of patients finding a match on their donors. 70%, nearly 14,000 each year, must rely on a benevolent stranger to step up and donate. Find out how you can help and play free DFS contests with a shot at winning two tickets to a 2018 World Series game. Go to dailyroto.com/DKMS. That's dailyroto.com/DKMS. If you live in the boogie down Bronx, you will not have to travel far to go to a 2018 World Series game. If you live in Queens, maybe next year. You can take the train to the Bronx, right? You know what I mean? Hey, Jake, you made an excellent point when we was doing the show. I think it was you. You made an excellent point when we was doing the show the other day. About
you set Jake up for that.
Yeah, I did. No, he knocked it out the park, yeah. Too. About the NFC. And I was went home and I was looking through.
Oh, that was me that asked that question.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yo, it's no bad teams in the NFC. Who's the worst team in the NFC? Nope.
So, Matt, the question I told Corey is like, you can't tell me, you can look at the NFC, you can't tell me definitively what the worst team in the NFC is, and if they even deserve to be 5-10 or 5-11 or 6-10.
This is not counting the Cowboys. I couldn't resist that one, Corey.
Good one.
Well, what about the Rams? Don't the Rams have like a really difficult schedule this year?
If you look at the talent on the Rams, you can't say that they're going to be a bad team.
No, I'm not saying they're going to be bad, but
they may regress.
You got
overrating them.
You know, and now people have got the game film on them and a little. Some ideas. I'm not saying they can, you know, duplicate. Is Gurley going to score all those touchdowns again? I mean, the rate at which he scored, and is he getting every single touch inside the five? I mean, possibly, but I think those are things you're going to have to ask for. And the big
point was the fact that, like, you look at the AFC, you could say the Dolphins are going to be among the worst, the worst.
Yeah.
The Bills and the Jets and probably the Bengals at this point of what's going on with that roster. But you look at the NFC and there's not a single team that you could say definitively like those where you say, you know what, they're not even a playoff contender, like not even 500 contender. The NFC just doesn't have one of those this year.
Yeah. And I mean, look, I mean, I don't know what the Vegas line is. I think it's 11.5. I thought I saw, maybe I'm wrong, 12.5
for
the Patriots.
It's I thought it was 11 on the.
Yeah. Bills. I mean, I don't know how you don't take the over on that. Look at that division. The Bills should be on the clock. I think they're the worst team. They have a quarterback who's a project. I mean, maybe this kid gets it all together. If he hits, it will be a home run. But there's a lot of ifs in this thing. You know, like with that Sex Panther, 60% of the time works all the time. He's like 56% of the time works all the time.
Yeah.
Their receiving core is god-awful. I mean, Shady, I feel bad
Patriots
for.
Are tied with the Vikings, Eagles, and Steelers for 10.5 over-under. And the Packers.
Wow.
I'm with you. I'd go to Vegas right now and hammer the living hell out of the over.
Yeah, you go right.
I mean,
yeah.
I think that's 6 wins right there in the division.
If you would,
I mean,
go ahead.
Look at the Bills are 6.5. I'm sorry. I hate to do it to you, Matt.
No, I'm going under too. I'm going under with the Bills too. I saw it at 6.5 with the Bills. I was like, am I missing something? Look, if the whole process is, I believe after this year they have like $100 million.
Yeah.
I believe they're just like flushed with money after this year.
Who they gonna get though?
I don't know. it's like I'm still pissed off that I watched the Cardinals trade from 15-10, give up a 3rd and a 5th, and the Bills go to 7th, and they give up 2 second-rounders.
Then yeah, so
at least they didn't give up a first though.
That's true.
Give them credit for
well,
that.
Yeah, no, I mean that would have been worse, but you know, look, I do like the guy they got. With the second first round pick, the linebacker from Va Tech, that kid's like what? Just turned 20 years old.
Evans.
Yeah,
should have went a lot higher.
But so. Now let's get back to this NFC right quick, right? So the Buccaneers and probably Washington will probably be looked at the two worst teams. I wouldn't be surprised if the Buccaneers won the division. I wouldn't be surprised if Washington won the division. It's not like DC's going to be terrible. It's not like the Bucs are going to be terrible.
Outside of the Eagles, though, I mean, outside of the Eagles in the NFC East.
Yeah.
I mean, how good are the Giants? The Giants
can be much better this year.
They should, right? I mean, they should be much better.
Would it surprise you if the Giants went 4-12 or 10-6 and made the playoffs? I think that's the point. It's like no outcome would surprise you. I think the only one to this point, Corey, where we'd say like, all right, a team that should probably be bad and not even in the conversation for the division, like the Giants. I mean, you know, if everything breaks right and they like, you know me, I'm a Giants fan. I don't think they're contending for the Eagles, but. If everything broke right and Eli Manning bounces back to 3 years ago, and all of it, like all that being said, like they might win the division at like 11-5 and maybe the Eagles take a step back. But I think the Cardinals would be the one where you say, you know what? That's one team that has no chance of winning the division.
Yeah, because they got a tough division with all those studs in front of them. But that's a team that two years ago was looking like a team that people thought could compete for a Super Bowl. And you look at Chicago, right?
They should be much improved this year. They should be fantasy fun. But staying in the Bears division, I like a lot of the things the Bears did. I mean, Trey Burton, who's the receiver from Jacksonville?
Allen Robinson. Drafted Anthony Miller.
Yeah, I mean, they did a lot of things. They got an offensive coach. They got Nagy there. So you really got to like what they did. One thing I did not understand is why the Lions did not sign Deion Lewis. I thought that was a great fit for that team.
Because they wanted to draft another Amir Abdullah and Kerryon Johnson.
Jake, don't do that. Don't do that, Jake. Don't do that. Because I'm riding with Kerryon Johnson. Jake, I don't care. Kerryon Johnson will be on. I'll have 100% exposure to Kerryon Johnson.
Don't do it to yourself.
Come on, Jake. He can play. Kerryon can play.
No. Kerryon was a perfect complimentary 50-50 backfield timeshare piece. He's not. I'm warning you. Don't do it, Corey. Please don't do it.
Wow.
Except in flex when we were playing together.
I honestly think the most intriguing thing right now is the Tennessee backfield. I know you have the people that think the one guy is going to shoot to the moon, but they brought in Lewis. He's like, what, the top 10 paid running back?
The thing that ticks me off about that, Matt, is Derrick Henry was going way too high, and now the signing of Deion Lewis saved those people from themselves. Like, I would prefer if Lewis didn't go there, because then all those people would have been spending way too much draft capital on Derrick Henry. Now they just got, they got saved from themselves.
That's the same way I feel about Hunter Henry. And I don't get me wrong, I think Hunter Henry would have been great, but
that's a good point. Yeah.
He would have gotten pushed up.
He would have been overvalued.
Like everybody said, oh, he was my breakout guy.
Yeah, everybody. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, Matt, I was in one where he went in the third round, the three picks.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. I mean,
it was Gronkowski in the second, Travis Kelce in the third, Zach Ertz in the third. Actually, Ertz went before Kelce, and then three picks later, Hunter Henry went at the beginning of the end of the third, early fourth.
Kelce in the third is probably the only tight end that would.
I worry about Pat Mahomes. I'm not doing Kelce in the third.
I'm probably not even doing that. No. I'm saying, those people who drafted Gronkowski in the second, bless you. I hope you're in my high stakes league. I can't do it. Gronk is awesome. He is a beast. He is the best there is at that position, but. You know, he's another year older. I don't know. I don't feel comfortable going.
Corey, it's not football, but it's...
What happened? Q on the line?
Noah Syndergaard to the DL with a finger strain.
Oh, wow.
The Mets just... That 12-2 team is now, 25-25? Hey, look, at least people had the Diamondbacks go to the World Series, winning that division in April. They're 26-26.
By the way, Syndergaard, he's on my labor team.
Oh, there you go. That's 22.
That's my main event with Andy Saxton.
Syndergaard's on that team. So finger strain for Syndergaard. So do we need to break this down?
I mean, what are you going to do? You're hoping it's a 10-day deal.
You know, but y'all know better than I would. All right, so let me ask y'all. Okay, so listen. You get those first four backs off the board in any particular order, Gurley, Johnson, Bell, Elliott. All right, I'm cool with that. Now,
wait. Before you go further, you got PPR. We're gonna. I'll throw the disclaimer out here. I'm doing a PPR draft, my first draft of the season. Those are the four top four, no doubt about it.
That's the consensus.
Antonio Brown goes after those guys.
Well, here's the thing, here's the thing. Do you get cute at five and go DeAndre Hopkins over Antonio Brown?
No,
I can't.
No question.
I have to take Antonio Brown. And if anything, if you didn't learn from last year when everybody, you know, he was going third, fourth. I've heard in draft he's gone seventh this year. I mean, that would be like
me get Antonio Brown in seven. I'm standing on this table,
you know,
Jack.
The all-time Christmas gift in, yeah. You know, in July.
Antonio Brown would really save Christmas that year. He would really save Christmas that year. So, Jake, Brown, Dan Hopkins, right?
Yeah, it's not even a question for me.
All right, Brown. Cool.
It's Brown by himself. But you're talking about in draft order position or just wide receivers?
Yeah, I'm talking, okay, I'm talking just wide receivers. My thought process is after those four, then you should have the two wide receivers. Now, what I was going to ask Jake is, do you continue with Kamara, Hunt, and Barkley? And let's just put them out there, those three, before you go with one of those wide receivers in PPR? Or do you still continue, or do you go Brown, Hopkins, and then get back to the running backs?
Now, so you know me. Now, if I'm drafting, I want my bell cow. And so what my point to that was going to be, I don't mind if you have the conversation in PPR of saying Brown ahead of Zeke. There's no question in my mind that that's a worthy conversation to have. Even if you want to go Brown over David Johnson, because the injury history, like, you could have the conversation. I'm not going to do it because you know I want my bell cow. For the fact, let's say those four and Brown. So those are the top five. Those are the top five consensus everywhere. At six, for me, it's not Hopkins yet. It's one of those three running backs. It's Barkley, Kamara, and Hunt. And then we can start talking about Hopkins, because let's be realistic about Hopkins. Yes, there's amazing numbers with Deshaun Watson. And if you look at Deshaun Watson, he's moving into his second season. Time and time and time again, NFL players consistently say this, whereas a defensive player or quarterbacks themselves, the second year is the toughest year for a quarterback because the NFL has a book on you. They're out to try and stop you in your game, and you have to adjust and you have to develop. I'm not saying Watson can't, but the fact is there's a lot to put on Watson to just say all those numbers we saw, the greatness, is going to continue into second year. Hopkins still didn't have 100 receptions. So in PPR even, I can see the conversation, and I know people are going to call me crazy, but Julio Jones just had 1,400 yards again. If he just gets the positive touchdown regression and gets back to six or seven instead of three, he's going to be the second best wide receiver. Now, I'm not taking him in front of DeAndre Hopkins or Odell Beckham, but I'm just saying there's the conversation there, and that's why I'm taking those three running backs, because if I miss on Hopkins and I get Odell or Julio instead, I'm not going to be upset.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done a draft yet this year, but if I had like the 12th pick, I don't think that's a bad spot. If I got Julio, Michael Thomas, and say,
I'll give you one, Matt.
See, here's the problem.
I got this at 12, and I was insane. I couldn't believe it. Melvin Gordon, Julio Jones at 12.
I can do that. I can do that all day. Sign me up for that.
Are we taking Melvin Gordon over Dalvin Cook?
I mean, yeah, I'm taking Melvin Gordon over Dalvin Cook.
There's no question, Chester.
I know. You listen. Yes. You're like, I can't. I'm taking Gordon over Cook every day.
I'm scared of the coming off the injury thing. That's what that scares me.
That's the only reason why. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So bet. So I would rank them. Kamara, Hook, Hunt, then Barkley. How would you rank them, Matt?
You might be right there with your ranking. I worry. They're saying they're going to have somebody else. He's not getting that role. Well, I don't think they should give him the entire role.
So I'm old Barkley?
No, I'll come. Kamara.
Oh, Kamara, okay.
So if he stays with what he stayed last year, it was just an insane success rate. I don't see how he can repeat that. I think the touchdowns, say he scored like 11 touchdowns when he should have scored, if he broke it down, like four. So say he's super and he should have had eight.
Yeah.
You know, you find that middle there. I honestly think, I'd probably go with Kamara or Hunt, but I think Barkley might be that guy. If he's going to be the guy that's there every down for the Giants, catching passes, and if the offensive line isn't as good as, you know, hopefully they – it isn't as improved, I should say, as they hope. He's going to catch a lot of short passes as well. He's going to be the goal line guy.
He's David Johnson.
Yeah, I think he's maybe the. I think he's the guy that should be. Say if you have those five, I think he might be the guy who should be six.
If you want to get involved, 844-843-6879, Jake. Same three.
Is that an early hot take for me?
That is an early hot take, but I think Jake is about to double down on that. Same three: Kamara, Hunt, and Barkley.
Since the draft, I've had it this way. As in non-PPR, it's Barkley, Kamara, Hunt. In PPR, it's actually Kamara, Barkley, Hunt, but it's only, we're talking, I'm looking at it right now, 4 points difference between Kamara and Barkley. And before the Mark Ingram suspension, Kamara was actually sixth in both. Barkley was five in both. And I agree. That's not, they're not going to just give him that workload. They're not going to give him 20, 25 touches per game, but it does increase some, because whatever replacement option they use, whether it's Boston Scott or they bring in somebody else, is not going to be as good as Mark Ingram. So I agree with all the factors of Kamara falling back from that efficiency of last year. And if you look at the projections I have for him, it's still a little bit of a step back. But the fact is, you also look at the numbers he had last year and the times where he dominated, or not dominated, but out-snapped Ingram, and the numbers were above what Le'Veon Bell averages per game.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think that I'm not going to take Kamara or Hunt. Yeah. You know, coming off of the years they had and stuff. But I kind of think that this guy is, you know.
All right, so wait a minute. Jake, you decided to sort of, he was giving out numbers. He got projections done already.
Well, he, I mean, yeah. That's what he does, right?
Well, I guess that's so, what you get, well, yeah.
The exclusive Edge draft kit is out.
There you go.
A week, 2 weeks, a week
and
a half.
Oh, it's coming out soon.
2 weeks away. Yeah. Well, look, I mean, we are approaching June. And as much as, you know, people complain about, like, fantasy baseball takes a back seat, we did it last June. June, boom, we were right there.
And we got to keep the lights on in this joint.
I'll give you a sneak preview, Corey. You want Kamara's line?
Yeah, give me Kamara's line.
864 rushing, 7 rushing touchdowns, 75 receptions, 453 receiving, and 2 receiving touchdowns.
I'll take that.
All right. No. I switched down to Kamara. I went from Kamara to Hunt. Hunt, Kamara receiving 75, 727, and 3.5 receiving touchdowns. Sorry.
I can dig it. That's all first-round running backs right there. So yeah. I'm looking forward to getting – you're doing an auction tonight. I wish I was in it. I keep saying that.
I'm doing it on the blind, too. I have no prices in front of me. Unless Jake wants to email me some prices.
Jake probably don't got auction values yet.
That would take me 2 seconds. It's a formula.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You got a bunch of NFFC veterans, and I'm excited for this new software. I like baseball. The auction is quickly becoming one of my, you know, my favorite format. And in football, I really haven't done it as much. And I know now they're going to offer like $50 ones, $150, $255.
I might just do all auctions the whole year.
I'm going
to
be involved with that.
I might have to flex as my only gosh darn snake draft in the Carton and Friends League.
I see you in the 14-teamer.
And yeah, listen, Andy, that son of a gun, you know, he tells me how, the Sharks are in New York, you should do the auction in Vegas. And then I was like, all right. And then he talks me into signing up for the one in New York.
You can talk anybody to anything.
No, son, with Vaccaro, Murderer's Row. You know what I'm saying?
I've signed so many checks over.
Oh, man. 844-843-6879. Everybody looking for some fantasy baseball talk. The best friends. Why are you playing this slow music? Everybody looking for some fantasy baseball talk. The best friends forever will be coming up right here at 2 p.m. Eastern time. Stuck it out when we come back, Chris. You heard?
What if I were to tell you that there was a professional football league where you, the fan, got to draft the team and call the plays? Is that something you might be interested in? The Fan Control Football League is bringing managerial control to the fans. Visit fcfl.io to learn more.
Where might AP wind up, or does he just stay on the shelf?
Probably wind up on a post-game or pre-game show, honestly.
It's sad. He's one of the best running backs of all time, and it's amazing what he's doing at his age, but when you come down to it, playing running back, he's just not that good at it.
He's a shell of what he used to be, but that makes him about a little below league average. I think if he still wants to play, he could be serviceable.
Weekdays, 7 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Thanks. I think someone has a crush on you.
Okay, who?
Let's make a game of it. One of these is a lie. He's 6'4". He collects stuffed exotic birds. He spends his free time trying to save lives.
Are you talking about Kevin?
Yeah! He's a registered bone marrow donor. Last week he got a call. He might be a match.
He's so cute. Oh, yes.
You could be a life-saving match for a patient with blood cancer. Learn more at dkms.org.
Wars Hour.
Goldschmidt owners obviously cannot let him go. They paid probably $30-$40 first round pick for him. What do you do if you're in seventh place languishing with Paul Goldschmidt?
He's been awful, especially in the month of May. He's hitting 118, but I expect that Paul Goldschmidt is gonna figure it out.
Sundays, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The Fan-Controlled Football League is making fantasy football a reality. Like a real-life version of Madden, fans will vote on all personnel decisions and play calls in real time, and what the fans say goes. Visit FCFL.io to learn more. The FCFL, where you're in control.
Before we gotta get it back cracking again. Gotta find out where Don left the good stuff at.
At least the little John turned down for what?
You gotta figure out where John left the good stuff. I mean, my man, shout out to Don Burns. I love DB.
Yeah,
I love everybody on the fourth floor. But DB is not here, so
I gotta say, having the Frenzy back, I think the Frenzy puts a fantastic program together.
Right now, right, if you put $50 down for the Cavaliers to beat the Warriors in the seventh game, $50 win you $1,000.
Nah, why wouldn't you?
Did you see the line on game one?
This is going to, hey, turn down for what? The line on game one is 12. The Warriors are 12-point favorites in game one of the finals.
Here's the question, Corey. I don't know how to bet that.
I'm taking Golden State.
Well, the last time the team was, hey, let's go. Turn down for what, Fantasy Football Frenzy? Telephone line was open. Telephone line's open, too, if you got keeper questions, something like that. I got a couple things I want to talk to the fellas about this segment. But first, the last game, the last time it happened was the infamous. The 76ers were 12-point underdog to the Lakers in game one, the infamous game where Allen Iverson stepped over Tyronn Lue. The 76ers were a 12-point underdog, and they won that game. That's the only game in the series they won, if I'm not mistaken, right, Jake?
You wouldn't remember? So.
Yeah, I think that's the only game. That is the only game in the series the 76ers won. The Lakers won.
I only see the Cavs really winning like at home.
Ow.
Having that chance at home.
I think they're going to win the championship.
You think Cleveland is?
I think
I'm going to root for Cleveland.
Corey's been saying that since day one.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to root for Cleveland. I just. Mm-hmm.
This is LeBron James' greatest act. This is his greatest act.
I still think the Vujicic. That or Sasha Pavlicic or whatever that roster was, whoever that was on the hell on that roster, facing the Spurs. I think that
who
was.
Who said that? I said that before the show.
And mind you, he was like 12 years old when it happened.
Jake, I said that before the show when we were talking. I thought the most impressive was when he did.
We talked about this during On Target. I had Gary and Thorne on today, and I said this is like I don't care if he wins or loses this series. LeBron James, even as a Bulls fan, deserves a 50-50 argument with Michael Jordan at this point.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, he's definitely in the GOAT conversation. When he took that Cavs team, he might have been 21, 22 years old.
Yeah,
when he took that team to the finals.
I was living in Los Angeles at the time. I remember that.
Yeah.
I was damn impressed. That was when I was still into basketball for the most part.
Against Pavona, how old? Hell, he was 23 years old. Still
23. I mean, look at that roster. Look at this roster. I mean, he's got Kevin Love. He's got Jarrett Smith that shows up at times before the whole injury situation and with the trade with Kyrie Irving and all that nonsense. But I mean, this roster right now is pretty depleted. There's still some pieces. That one that he just pulled to the Spurs was just, if that was legitimately the one where people are always saying it's LeBron and four other people, that was that team was that.
Mm-hmm. And they have Boogie Gibson. From that team.
Oh, Booby Gibson. I forgot about that. That's Keisha Cole. And that's Keisha Cole, baby daddy. Booby. Shout out to Booby. He might live in her basement now, too. I think times have gotten hard for Booby. Who else was on that? Sasha Vucevic. And they beat a.
Reese Spites.
Oh, my God. Mo Buckets. That was before he became Mo Buckets, though. That was when he was just Mo Spates. That was before the Mo Buckets era.
I know Wayne Ellington because of the UNC. I know he was on that team.
Wayne Ellington. I think he might pay for. He might still be bouncing. No, I don't think Wayne.
Hold on, I'm pulling it up right now. CJ Miles, Sean Livingston.
Look at that. Before he tore the knee up.
Tyler Zeller.
Wow, Tyler Zeller's name was in the NBA. That's right. Really did drag that team. And he was 23 years old, and they beat a real good Pistons team. That Pistons team had Rasheed Wallace was on that team. I think Rip was on that team. Oh, my goodness. So shout out to LBJ. It's not about LBJ because we can't draft him.
So you got to put $100 on this series then if you think that's the case.
See?
You win some less money.
I'll see what I can do.
And then look, people in the chat just assuming what people are assuming. I grew up watching Michael Jordan, and I'm putting him in the same conversation. People have member berries. They always think when they grew up it was the best, because when Michael Jordan, we all grew up with Michael Jordan. You remember Michael Jordan? The whole conversation during that time was he doesn't deserve it. Oscar Robinson is the best ever. Look at all the titles he won and all that type of stuff. And I'm sure there's people when Oscar Robinson was around arguing, well, don't remember about Wilt. And I'm sure when Wilt was around, everybody's always got member berries.
And then you got people that's prisoners to the moment also. So it can go
the
way.
one thing I do take exception to is the people that never seen MJ play. There's a lot of these kids on Twitter, these millennials that, you know, were being breastfed at the time. when Michael Jordan was Michael Jordan.
So you don't think somebody can go back, Matt?
No, I'm not saying we can't. But no,
you can watch anything on YouTube. You know, so you somebody if it was say somebody's 15.
Yeah, but you can't watch Oscar Robinson on YouTube.
No, you can't watch Oscar Robinson. I mean,
I'm pretty sure I've never seen Willie Mays play. I'm pretty sure he might have been the greatest baseball player of all time, or at least one of the top five. And I never saw him play. And that's but these people that say without a doubt LeBron is better than MJ and hadn't seen him play, then you know that's where I take a little issue.
See, me and my homeboys, we have this conversation all the time, and he be asking me like when I be about players, when I be telling him, and he be like, "Well, what about Jerry West?" I be like, "I never seen Jerry West play, son."
Forget Jerry West. Yeah. What about having a face like Bill Laimbeer in the playoffs? That's a different animal. I mean, Bill Laimbeer was not a good player, but Bill Laimbeer would beat the heck out of you.
That's
and
true,
you have
too.
To have a guy on your team that would go after Bill Laimbeer and stop him going.
And Draymond Green, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But and you really don't have that many players.
But it's a different game from that 80s, 90s.
No doubt it is. They made it
that's what I love
decent. Decent. that was inhumane. Jake, my thing is, Jake, you can't put somebody in the GOAT conversation or the greatest conversation if you haven't seen that person play. Do you agree with that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you want to do enough research from what your argument is, you can go online and watch video and all. You want to go back and watch somebody's entire career. But, yeah, unless you've seen it, like that's why I'll never get into the Oscar Robinson debate. I'll never get into the Wilt Chamberlain, although for the fact is you can look at who he played with and make the art and also understand a lot of people reporting about him and that he was intentionally a ball hog and self-padding his stats and all that type of stuff. But that's just reporting. Like, I can't speak – like, I'm not going to get into some bar argument about it because if anybody's got anything where they've watched him and can – you know, defer from that, I'm not going to say, well, I know better because I never watched the guy. Like, same thing with football. You could talk about Tom Brady and Joe Montana, all that type of stuff. But if you want to start pulling in, like, I don't know, Y.A. Tittle, I can't make that. I don't ever saw Y.A. Tittle
it's
play.
Like, you talk about the great quarterbacks. I got a homeboy, but like, don't forget about Johnny Unitas. You never seen Johnny Unitas play?
my point is basically, don't make it a slam dunk case that LeBron is better. Like, I hate people.
Well, I was coming the other way with you, Matt. My point is now you can't make a slam dunk argument for Michael Jordan anymore. Like, you can still, I'll still argue for Michael Jordan myself, but it's not slam dunk anymore. It's not like Michael Jordan, you don't even deserve to be in the conversation with LeBron James.
Yeah, I mean, I can't make a full case on it. I mean, I'm still going to say MJ, but I haven't been involved with
basketball. You know what you won't do?
As much over the last few years. I really haven't.
You definitely, you want to talk about millennials, you definitely won't do the whole Steph Curry is the best player.
They will soon.
That's insane.
He's going to go down in the greatest shooter in NBA history.
Somebody had a great tweet. I wish I remembered it last night about Kevin Durant taking shots. Like, Kevin Durant's taking more shots than an unarmed something.
No. The best one I saw today was somebody took a picture. It was a news article about this machine, and it says it can lay 100 bricks a minute, and then somebody put, "Rockets, hold my beer."
Yeah, I did see one where it said John Starks is off the hook or something.
Yeah, for real.
Did you know they set records?
Both teams, right?
No, specifically the Rockets. They set the record for the most consecutive missed three-pointers, and James Harden set the record for most missed three-pointers in a series. The next closest was 12 behind him.
That's crazy the way the amount of that they were stroke.
They missed 17 threes in a row.
But that's what they want to do. They want to come out and shoot 45 to 50 threes a game. The problem is, and this is where I say to Chris, now listen, Chris Paul ain't never won nothing. So people saying, oh, they didn't have Chris Paul. They had the Clippers had Chris Paul the last 5 years and was gone in the first, second round in the playoffs every year. So I don't want to hear the Chris Paul say.
Is Chris Paul a top five point guard of all time?
No. One thing I will say is about Chris Paul. I don't think so.
I'm saying all time top five. I don't know.
I don't think he's in the conversation, to be honest with you. But one thing, he would at least settle them down last night. Like, yo, listen, he's shooting too many threes. Like, well, stop.
I think Chris Paul is arguably the best point guard of the past decade. So I think you could argue that. Like, the fact of what he does like in Chris every Paul. Facet of the game, Corey, he's a great shooter. He's a great passer, great facilitator. He's great on defense. I mean, Chris Paul, name a better point guard in the past 10 years than Chris Paul.
I would have to go back and look at it. But I'm just not a Chris Paul guy. Be 100%
honest. Seems that way.
I'm not a Chris Paul guy. I'm not a Chris Paul guy.
Fantasy exact.
Chris Paul's like a rec league player, like a rec league dude that will, like, when you post the ball,
Paul foul,
and he'll slide the other way. That's Chris Paul. He's like, yeah.
I thought you were saying he's like the dude that calls foul every single time.
No, that's Draymond. let's talk about these wide receivers. Brown, Hopkins, Beckham, Julio. So that's it right there. So after Brown, Beckham, Julio, after Brown, Hopkins, Beckham,
so
and Julio.
So Hopkins is definitely ahead of Beckham in your mind, no question.
Oh, yeah. I'm going Hopkins over Beckham. I love Beckham. Don't get me wrong. I love him as a talent on the field.
I'm even going Hopkins, too. That's too. Like, the fact is it has nothing to do with Odell Beckham. You want to give me the same quarterback for both of them, I'll go Odell Beckham. But the fact is you're talking about Deshaun Watson versus hoping Eli Manning can recover any of his lost. I was going to say talent, but I'll put it in quotes, talent.
Thank you for doing that. All right, so here we go. So after Julio, I'm going to put these three dudes in the mix. I'll put these four dudes in the mix. Matt, I'll start with you. Julio, Keenan Allen, Michael Thomas, Davante Adams.
Ooh, if I can get a running back in one of those four, I'm very happy.
Would you feel comfortable starting Leonard Fournette and Davante Adams?
I'd rather do Dalvin Cook, Davante Adams.
Okay.
If I can get Dalvin Cook in any one of those four.
Well, the question was about the wide receivers, Matt.
Yeah, no, I'm going back to that. I'm a Julio guy. I think I still got to stay Julio. I mean, but they're right there. All three of those other guys are right. If I got Michael Thomas, I'm fine. Keenan Allen, he's a beast. I'm not worried about injury.